Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Rick continues teaching a series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In these lessons, Rick shows you what it means to truly be spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. In just a little while, we're going to tell you how to get the Lord's Prayer Words of Hope and Happiness gift book. This life-giving resource will help you strengthen the hope of the children you love by introducing them to the Lord's Prayer. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Prayer of Cleansing.
In January, we had a vacuum cleaner that died. I gave it a decent funeral, but I went down to a vacuum cleaner store to buy a new vacuum, and I went in and I said, I want your best vacuum. Top of the line, give me your best sucker. The most powerful sucker you've got. And give me the Cadillac. And they said, oh, we've got a great one over here. It's from Germany. It's got a motor on it. You don't even have to hardly push it. It kind of pulls itself along. And I thought, this is great. So I bought this top-of-the-line vacuum cleaner. This last week, Kay had to go over to Phoenix to speak to a business leaders group. And while she was gone, I thought, you know, I'm going to vacuum the living room and everything so it'll all look nice when she gets back home. I do this all the time, you guys. Just. So I get out the vacuum, and I'm vacuuming, and really it is. It's kind of pulling me along. It's kind of like, oh, man, this is like easy. You don't have to push it or anything. And I'm vacuuming, and all of a sudden the thing just stops dead in its tracks. It stalls. It won't move forward. I can't figure it out. I flip it over. Doesn't seem like anything's wrong with it. And I just couldn't figure out what was hindering my progress. Finally, I decided to go kind of take it apart a little bit, and I discovered that up inside, that the bristles had taken back up inside this tiny little doll with hair that had entangled in all the bristles. And so they weren't moving, and so it wasn't moving forward. And I got to thinking, you know, that's a lot like life. You're going, oh, yeah? Yeah, we suck. No, that's not what I was going to say. No. Sometimes small things get entangled up inside you, and it stops your progress. And you're looking for something on the outside, but it's really inside of you, and you get stuck. Let me ask you this morning, what's hindering your progress in life? Growing closer to the Lord, growing closer to your family, to other people. What's hindering your dream? What's holding you back? What's slowing your progress? A lot of times we want to blame external things. Oh, it's the economy. It's my boss. It's my relationships. I don't have enough money, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, what holds you back in life is almost never external. It's internal. The things that hold you back are inside you. Something gets entangled up inside you. Now, what it is may surprise you. But the Bible tells us that what holds you back more than anything else is unconscious guilt from unconfessed sin. You may not even realize that. It's unconscious guilt from unconfessed sin. When you hold on to hurts inside you and habits and hang-ups and regret and shame and guilt, it just does a number on you because you weren't made by God to go around carrying a load of guilt. You weren't wired for that. In fact, the Bible says this in Hebrews, up here on the screen, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, let us throw off everything that hinders. I mean, others holds us back, prevents our progress. Let us throw off, let's get rid of, let's dump everything that hinders our progress and the sin that so easily entangles us, like that little doll hair, entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Did you know that when God made you, He has a race plan for your life? It's already been marked out. God has a purpose, a plan for your life that is unique, and nobody else can fulfill that plan and purpose. And God says, I've got a race that only you can run, and it's already marked out. Now, the problem is, everybody else has a race for your life, too. And maybe your mom wanted you to run her race, or your dad wanted you to run his race, or you've got a boss or a friend or a neighbor or a spouse or somebody. God loves you and everybody else has a plan for your life. And God says, no, time out here. I didn't make you to fulfill somebody else's plan. I put you on this planet to run the race that was marked out for you. The sad thing is most people don't run it, don't know the race. They get sidelined, they get sidetracked, they get tripped up, they get entangled, they get tired, they don't make it to the finish line. Very few people in life run the race that God actually marked out for them. And they end up living plan B, C, D, E kind of thing, instead of the race that God marked out for you. Now, the fact is, God says we need to throw off the things that hinder us, hindrances, and the sin that entangles us. That's that unconfessed sin that creates unresolved and unconscious guilt. Now, the fact is, none of us are faultless. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. We all blow it. We all sin. We all flub up. We don't measure up to our own standards, much less God's standard of perfection. I actually have never met anybody who claimed to be perfect. We all know we're sinners. We all fall short. We all don't do the right thing every time. That's a pretty easy thing for us to admit. But what happens is, as a result of that, because we are faulty, we make mistakes, we have regrets, and we have remorse, and we have guilt, and sometimes we have shame. And that guilt keeps us stuck. It keeps us stuck in our past. We can't get on with it because we keep thinking about what we did. We get stuck in our pain. We get stuck in our problems. And like that vacuum cleaner, we just don't make any progress anymore. Now, a lot of times we know we're guilty, but we try to deal with it in ways that don't work. We deny it. We repress it. We suppress it. We excuse it. We rationalize it. And you know what rationalize means? It means to tell rational lies. That's to rationalize. When you rationalize anything you know it's wrong, what you're doing, you're trying to convince with your mind what your heart says is wrong. And rationalization is a battle between your heart and your head. And you're trying to tell yourself it's okay when everything in your body goes, it's not okay. That was not right. That was wrong. And I feel bad about it. I feel guilty about it. Now, the truth is, God doesn't want you walking around with a load of guilt. A lot of people think God wants us to feel guilty all the time. Absolutely not. Guilt is not a Christian emotion. In fact, it is the most worthless, unhelpful, destructive emotion out there. God did not design your body to carry guilt, and He doesn't want you carrying guilt. It's self-destructive. It destroys your confidence. It damages your relationships in ways you don't even realize. And it defeats your potential. When you feel guilty, you're always afraid that somebody's going to find out. If they really knew what I'm like, they would not like me. If they really knew my past, they wouldn't love me. God wouldn't love me. And of course, God knows everything in your past and still loves you. But they wouldn't love me. And you walk around in fear a lot of the time. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the guy who was the author of all the Sherlock Holmes novels, was quite a prankster. And once he wrote an anonymous note to, I think it was 13 key, well-known people in England. And the note simply said, "All is found out, flee at once." And I think in about 48 hours, about half the people had left the country. Because everybody carries a load. Now, the truth is, guilt messes up your relationships. If you don't understand that, just go watch some TV soap operas. And how guilt messes up relationships. The truth is, when you feel guilty, one of the ways it comes out, you get judgmental. Anytime you find somebody who's harshly judgmental, you can know one thing, they feel guilty. Judgmental people feel judged themselves. And they don't feel forgiven, so they don't want anybody else to feel forgiven. And the more guilty you feel, the more judgmental you're going to be. It's just a fact of life. When you are guilty, you overreact to the weaknesses in other people, often the same weaknesses that you hate in yourself. When you feel guilty, you indulge people. You spoil them. You buy them things they don't need because you feel guilty. When you feel guilty, you avoid commitment in a relationship. Guilt can make you physically sick. Psychiatrists and psychologists tell us that probably 60 to 70% of all the people in the hospitals today could actually leave the hospital if they knew how to get rid of guilt and resentment. Guilt over what I've done to others and resentment over what people have done to me. The Bible says this on the screen, Proverbs 28, "You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up, and then God will show you mercy." Now, I can't tell you how excited I am about this message, because of all the ones we've done in this series on the Lord's Prayer, this one, the Prayer of Cleansing, is the one that will personally revolutionize your life in ways that you can't even imagine. It has personally revolutionized my life. It set me free. This prayer, the Prayer of Cleansing, "Forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, forgive us our transgressions," depending on the translation you've got. When you understand the Prayer of Cleansing and you practice it, it opens the door to live a life of freedom, a life of a clear conscience, a life of no guilt, a life that is joyful, a life of blessing, and a life that God uses. I want you to experience that in your life. I will never forget the time that I prayed the Prayer of Cleansing for the very first time. I was just a teenager, maybe 17 or 18 years old. And I remember that in my life, at that point, my walk with God had just gotten dull. There was no joy. There was no thrill to it. It was just kind of ho-hum. When I'd pray, I felt like my prayers just bounced across the ceiling. I didn't feel close to God. I didn't feel close to anybody. Actually, my life was in a rut. I was stuck. I was not making any progress. I wasn't moving backwards, but I was just stuck in a rut. And so I remember one night, I was still living at home. About 10 o'clock at night, everybody had gone to bed, had gotten quiet. I went into my room and I shut the door and I sat down at my desk and I had a small light on at the desk and now the room was dark. And I got out a yellow pad and I said, "Okay, God, well, let's just do some business here. I need to do a little spring cleaning. I need to know anything that's between you and me that's holding back the joy, holding back the blessing, holding back what I know you're capable and want to give in my life. And so, God, whatever you tell me, I'm going to write it down. I'm just going to make a sin list. And I'm going to list all the things that are wrong in my life. And as you reveal them to me, I'll write them down. So, God, whatever you want to say to me now, because I want to do a little spring cleaning." And I sat there, and within a few seconds, I just started thinking of things that I knew were wrong in my life. And I began to write them down on this yellow pad. If it said, "You've been jealous about that person," I wrote down jealousy with that person. If it said, if God reminded you, "You were impatient with that person," I wrote impatient with that person. "You lied to that person," I'd write that down. "You exaggerated about that," I write that down. "You had lust about this person," I wrote that down. Whatever God showed me, I wrote it down. "You stole something. You said something wrong. You were unkind. And I just began to write down the things that came to my mind that I knew were wrong. Where I've been lazy, I was lazy. Where I was prideful, I was prideful. I filled up a page. I filled up a second page. I filled up a third page. I thought, I'm going to write my first book, The Purpose-Driven Sinner, a list of Rick Warren's sins. And I had about four pages at the end, and when I finished it, it was about midnight. And I looked at that, and I thought, man, that is ugly. There's no wonder God isn't blessing my life, that I feel far from, I don't feel close to God. But I knew enough of the Bible that I knew 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 from memory. If we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us, to cleanse us of all of our sins, and to forgive us from all of our unrighteousness. And so I knew God said, if you confess it, I'll forgive it. And so I wrote 1 John 1, 9 over each of those pages, knowing that God was forgiving me simply because I had admitted them and confessed them to him. And I was sorry about it. And so I went back and I crossed out each one. I was just going to burn the paper. I certainly didn't want anybody reading it. I was going to burn the paper, but I left on there, uncrossed out, the sins between me and another person that I knew I needed to make restitution for. And there were three on that page. Now, I want you to know that since then, your pastor has done much worse sins than these things. But this is what God revealed to me at that point in my life, 17, 18 years of age. The first thing he revealed to me is that when my sister was young, growing up, I used to steal her money all the time. I knew where she kept it. I'd go into her room, find her money, take it, go buy an album, go buy comics, go buy some candy. She probably wondered where all her money went. But I even figured out how you could take two forks and stick into her piggy bank and shake it upside down and the money would fall out. And I had a great collection of comic books from all of that. And God said, you know what? You've never confessed that to her, and you need to get that right, and you need to repay her. The second thing on that list is I had been in an unreported accident. As a high school student, I had been with a couple friends of mine, and we had been in a parking lot one day at a store, and as we were backing out, I backed into a car behind me and smashed in the front of it. We got scared and left. I didn't leave a note. I didn't tell anybody. God said, you know that's wrong. You need to go to the police department, and you need to admit that you were the one who bashed that in. See if it's on the records so you can repay whoever that was for the damage that was done to their car. The third thing was I was a member of a small church, and at that time I had really long hair, beautiful, flowing blonde hair. I was in Northern California in the 60s and 70s. What do you expect? Okay? And my dad never had a problem with it. He said, son, grow it while you got it. Because you ain't going to have it for long. So he never had a problem with it. But my pastor, this small church, was kind of conservative, didn't like guys wearing long hair in those days. And he regularly talked about it and put me on the defense. And I didn't like him. And so I told everybody I didn't like him. I gossiped about him. And I just did not do anything to build him up. I undermined him. And God said, I don't care what he's done, what his part is. You need to go and confess you've had a bad attitude and you need to ask forgiveness. So I finished that and I got in bed and God said, you going to do it? I said, nope. Not a chance. Nope. And God said, oh, really? Have you thought about the consequences of this? Yep. You going to do it? Nope. And I began a battle in my mind with God that night. God, I really don't want to do this. In fact, I'll do anything. If you just forgive these three things, it would be humbling. It would be embarrassing. I would feel bad about it. I don't even want to do it. It's going to cost me. God said, Rick, this is a test. This is a test of your integrity. Will you do what I tell you to do? Now, let me tell you what integrity is. Integrity isn't being perfect. Integrity is not never sinning. If that's true, nobody's got integrity, because nobody's perfect. Integrity means being open and honest and willing to confess where you are weak, where you sin, and when you do wrong, and get right. That's integrity. It's not being perfect. Nobody's perfect. It means being honest and authentic about your imperfections. I tried to do everything with God. I tried to bargain with God. God, if you'll forgive me, I will never do it again. God said, don't make promises, just go get it right. God, if you will forgive me, I will never sin again. Right. Just go get it right. God, if you will forgive me, I tried to bargain with God. I will read my Bible every day the rest of my life. I will tell somebody about Jesus every day. God said, don't make promises, go get it right. And I said, I don't want to. He said, Rick, if you won't be real with me, I won't be real with you. I want to bless your life. I want to use your life. But if I can't trust you in the little things of life, how can I trust you in the big things of life? This is a test. I tossed and turned all night from about midnight to about 5 a.m. in the morning, and finally I just go, okay. And I just finally said I would do it so I could go to sleep. But I didn't really mean it. And I got up the next morning, and it was a Saturday, and I did everything except go make those sins right. I did all my homework. I cleaned up my room. I washed both of my parents' cars. I cleaned up the patio. I offered to do errands for my mom. I was doing everything except that which I really needed to do. That night, I had been invited to be a guest speaker to a youth meeting, a youth rally at a small church about 30 miles away. I got in the car, drove over to that church, and I spoke that night. I shouldn't have spoken. I was out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship with other people, myself. God's power and presence wasn't there. God's blessing was there. The words were just bouncing off the wall. And I went home very discouraged and very defeated, knowing that God was withholding his blessing on my life. My dad, who was a pastor, asked me, he said, Rick, can you go tomorrow up to a little town about 60 miles from here, and can you fill in there for the pastor there who's sick? And I said, sure. So I drove an hour north, and I went to this little church, and I spoke that morning, and I spoke that evening, and all afternoon I just wrestled with God, knowing that there was something intentionally between me and God that I was refusing to get right. I knew it was wrong, but I would not give in. And to speak to this group was a waste of their time and a waste of my time, and there was no blessing, no power, no grace. And I was discouraged and depressed and defeated, and I knew this wasn't working. I got in the car, and as I was driving back home that night, in the dark, I finally just broke down and said, okay, God, I am so sorry. I'm never going to allow any little thing to get between me and you if I know it. Willingly, I will confess it when I make mistakes, when I sin, when I blow it. And I commit to getting this right. I got home that night, and my parents and my sister were sitting in the living room watching television. Now, to show you how long ago this happened, my parents were watching Bonanza. Okay, so it's that old, all right? And I walked in, and I didn't even say anything. I just walked over to the television in front of them and flipped it off, turned it off like that, and I turned around and said, I don't need you to do anything, but I need somebody to just confess this to, and I need to get it off my chest. I've already confessed it to God. I need to confess it to somebody else, and I need to ask you to pray for me that I will have the courage to go get these three things right. And I admitted those three things there to my parents and my sister. I have this scar from my sister. No. I made that part up. So I just admitted, and I got on my knees in the living room, and I bowed, and I began to cry and weep profusely. And my parents and my sister began to pray for me. And I felt the power of God fall on my life like I had never experienced before or since. And I could feel the blessing of God flowing into my life. And I could feel the power of God flowing into my life. And God saying, you passed the test. And I'm going to use you. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing to other people. And that power flowing into my life was the turning point in my life. I want this so badly for you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. Recently, Pastor Rick had our graphic designers create a beautiful frameable version of the Lord's Prayer that you can download for free right now by visiting PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Rick will be back in a moment, but first, perhaps the most important role you can play in the life of a child is teaching them to trust God through prayer. It's the key to living with hope. Jesus said we should always pray and never give up. That's why it's so important to strengthen the hope of children by introducing them to Jesus' model for prayer at an early age. With this in mind, we're excited to tell you about a very special resource to help you do just that. It's called The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness. This book brings the poetic scripture of the King James Version of the Bible to life. Readers young and old will enjoy thoughtful insights from New York Times bestselling author, Pastor Rick Warren, and stunning illustrations by award-winning artist, Richard Jesse Watson. It's sure to become a meaningful bedtime ritual, a treasured memory, and a lasting legacy that bears good fruit for generations to come. The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness, is the perfect way to share the beauty and richness of the Lord's Prayer with the children the Lord has placed in your life, and we'll send it to you when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the good news to people everywhere. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 2 days left to get your copy of the Lord's Prayer Children's Gift Book, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I've often said that I'm addicted to change lives. It's what keeps me going. One good story from you can keep me going for another month. To hear how God's working in your life, it just keeps me motivated. So you bless me with your stories. Here's one that came from a woman named Tania, who's a brand new believer. She wrote, Pastor Rick, I'm a new person in Christ, and I'm learning more and more every day. My supervisor here at work came in about a week ago and told me about your Daily Hope devotional and your broadcast. I am now hooked. Listening to Daily Hope each morning has become a blessing to my soul. It's really helped me to implement the Word of God in my daily life. Well, Tania, this is why we do what we do. This is why we do Daily Hope, for people like you, people who want to grow, who desire to grow, and who take the time to grow by getting into God's Word on a daily basis. Now, I want you to notice something about Tania's story. She didn't find the Daily Hope broadcast or podcast on her own. It was her coworker who told her about Daily Hope. Who have you told? You may have been listening to Daily Hope for weeks or months or even longer. Would you be an agent of love and an agent of hope and tell 4 or 5 people this week? Look for somebody today. Send an email, write a text, call somebody on the phone and say, this has helped me in my spiritual life, and I want to pass it on to you that Daily Hope can help you grow in your faith and in your walk in Christ. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope and tell somebody about it. God bless you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.